This is The Guardian.
How can a people-first approach to higher education transformation improve success? An EY report suggests that taking emotional and psychological factors into account is just as important as the technology. Six factors drive this human-centered approach: leadership, inspiration, care, empowerment, investment, and collaboration. Get these right, and they can more than double an organization's chance of transformation success. Learn more about people-first transformation at theguardian.com/transforminghighereducation. This message was paid for by EY.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This week, Politics Weekly UK is in Port Talbot, where the future of the British steel industry and an entire South Wales community is on a knife edge.
Breaking news that thousands of jobs are at risk at the UK's biggest steelwork plant in Port Talbot. Up to 2,800 employees expected to be potentially affected.
2,800 employees. That is nearly three quarters of the Port Talbot workforce and almost a tenth of the entire town. People here fear the 1980s happening all over again, and the consequences could last for generations.
It's unthinkable. This town will see a depression like it's never, ever seen before. It'll kill South Wales.
While the government is giving Tata Steel £500 million to renovate the plant, Labour has promised hundreds of millions more. But with so many jobs still on the line, is either plan going to be enough? I'm Kieran Stacey, and you're listening to Politics Weekly UK for The Guardian. I'm here in Port Talbot. It's a traditionally Welsh cloudy day. So we've just got off the train and straight ahead of us you can see the towers at the steelworks and there is steam coming out of them. These are huge hulking edifices that loom over the town. It is physically clear as soon as you get off the train quite how big a part of this town this steelworks is. Pat is 77. She's lived in the area her whole life.
When my husband was alive and we were a bit younger, and if we went out of Talbot or we'd been away and we'd be coming back, and then all of a sudden you'd see the steel company, and my husband would say, oh, there's God's Little Acre, because it was God's Little Acre to Port Talbot, and it still is while he's there.
In a town of around 30,000 people, it's hard to find anyone who doesn't have some kind of connection to the steelworks.
Well, I don't think there is Port Talbot without the steel, to be honest with you. What else is there? You know, there isn't anything much. My parents were involved there, my husband, his brother worked there. You know, anybody in Port Talbot had somebody working there. I do have younger family working there at the moment, and I do worry for them. Where are they going to get jobs? And not only that, the businesses as well. You know, it'll have a knock-on effect everywhere.
It's a 3.5 mile long plant, yes. So it is the town. You know, it stretches from the River Kenfig to the River Avon. It's massive. I'm the first out of five generations that hasn't worked in that plant.
Dale is 37. He was born and bred here. He owns a barber shop on the high street.
So I'm a traditional barber in the centre of Port Talbot town. And my main custom then would be boys who are working in the Abbey Works. So working men who just want to come in, have a haircut and get back out. So yeah, I can see it having a knock-on effect especially if people are working further afield. Are they then going to come into town? Are they going to go elsewhere and have their haircut when they're doing their jobs? You know, there's all things to consider. But it's the uncertainty of what comes next.
Around 4,000 people currently work at Tata Steel in Port Talbot. And with many more working in the wider supply chain, there are fears about what kind of ripple effect 3,000 job losses could cause for the whole town.
Hello, Kieran. Nice to meet you.
How's it going? Thanks for having us.
Welcome to Port Talbot.
Yeah. We were saying it's not quite the sunny spring day that we left behind at Paddington.
I don't think there's ever sunny spring days in Port Talbot, to be honest.
Jo Stevens has been the Labour MP for Cardiff Central since 2015. She is now the Shadow Secretary of State for Wales. What happens next for Port Talbot hits home for her because it mirrors her own experience of growing up in Shotton, a town in North Wales.
I know because where I grew up went through this in the 1980s. I grew up about 5 miles from Shotton Steelworks, and in 1980, 6,500 jobs went overnight. So a huge cliff edge. It's still, I think, the biggest industrial redundancy in Western Europe. And I saw what happened in my community. I was 14 years old at the time, and it took us decades to recover from it. Pretty much every child at my school had family in the steelworks. So I'm really worried that the same thing is going to happen here. If you come to Port Talbot, you know, the steelworks is the town. Everybody has got somebody that works here. And if they don't work here, they work in the supply chain. And all the businesses here, pubs, restaurants, clubs, hairdressers, you know, you name it, they will be affected. Because once those wages stop going into the local economy, people have got no money to spend and those businesses go with the jobs at the steelworks.
So what happens then? Does it become a ghost town? Does it just get subsumed by a larger city? Swansea's nearby. Is that the most likely outcome if that were to happen?
Well, I think first it probably loses its identity. And there's a very proud history of steelmaking here. You know, if, when you meet the workforce, you will see how proud they are about the product they make. It is world class and is known all over the world, you know, for the quality of the product that they produce. And the danger is that there is nothing here to replace it.
Jo has come to Tata Steel today to visit the plant. It's Thursday, the 21st of April, and just hours earlier, Tata unexpectedly closed the last working coke oven where workers had processed coal for decades. Jonathan James is 42. He's one of around 200 people who's now seriously worried about his job.
Everyone worked in the steelworks. From a young age, I remember my father coming home from work on his Honda 90 moped and rocking up and the smell of the coke ovens on his clothes, you know. It's been a massive part of my life growing up, you know, as well as when I finally started working there. I was trying to work out the other day, how old I was. I've been there 18 years anyway. You're there 12-hour shifts. So you're there as much as you're at home, really. It's a family environment, you know, at the end of the day. We're all like brothers. Conditions, harsh, hot, dirty, hard conditions, physical work. It's hard to describe it, really. You'd have to, you know, if anybody that does experience it is shocked, you know, how hard it is there. But we love it as well, you know. It's been hard. No one is coming. But how quick it's come now has been devastating. Thinking of how we're going to, what's ahead of us for the future, you know. How are we going to manage my wife, my three-year-old child, how are we going to manage? It's devastating. At the moment, they've said they will look after us up until June at least. We're just waiting now to find out where we're going to be placed. The uncertainty of that is hard enough, but obviously from June onwards, I don't know where we go then. I haven't got a clue.
Adrian Morgan is 52. He's already seen how the town has changed in the 3 decades he's worked at the steelworks.
I was born in 1972. When I grew up, we got a bit of Sea Beach, we got a beautiful seafront. We had a fair down there. We had an Olympic-sized swimming pool. This was an affluent town because of the amount of people this place employed. But in the 80s, we had slimline. All that got cut back. You go uptown now, it's like a zombie film. It's not the place I knew growing up. But what's it going to be in the future when there's nothing? So that's another big fear that, you know, it's going to, the industry's going to go, the town's going to go. We have to go up the valleys to see the effects when you take a big industry away, what it does to communities.
Further complicating Tata Steel's future in Port Talbot is what happens if a Labour government gets in at this year's election. Jo Stevens outlines what her party would do differently.
The government essentially have given Tata £500 million. The return on that is 3,000 jobs going. There's a transition board which the Welsh Secretary is chairing, which £100 million has gone into, money from both the government and Tata. But we've heard nothing about what that plans to do, how it proposes to help people affected by this if these jobs do go. And I am very concerned that, you know, we're now in March and the programme is that both will be closed by the end of the year, both furnaces. And we've heard nothing from the transition board about how they're going to help people here if those jobs do go.
So your offer on the table is for, you know, the £3 billion clean steel fund to help keep one blast furnace open while the company then transitions to the arc furnace. At the moment, that doesn't seem to have moved the needle. You know, the company is still progressing with its plans to close both blast furnaces by the end of the year. Have you just not got enough money on the table? Why has the company not said yes to your offer?
We're not in government. You know, the timing of this is really tricky. So there is £3 billion to spend over 5 years. We've accelerated the period that we would spend it on. You could build an arc furnace while keeping a blast furnace open. And you could then invest in new technologies for clean steel as well that will come on stream during that period. But, you know, if we were having a general election on May the 2nd, I would hope that we could persuade Tata that, you know, don't make decisions that are irreversible.
Labour in government here in Wales, obviously you're not part of the Welsh government, has given, I think, £17 million to Tata since 2009 and nothing since 2019. Isn't there more that Labour could be doing here in government in Wales?
Well, we are dependent in Wales and the Welsh government funding on UK government. So they just do not have the economic levers to do what is needed to be done here. And that's why UK Labour has set out our plan for our £3 billion green steel fund.
Mm. But can you have more for retraining, for skills, you know, the kind of stuff that can just at least mitigate some of the impacts of job losses?
Certainly. I mean, Welsh government does a lot in that area. We've done a lot of work on Welsh Labour on apprenticeships, on training and guaranteed jobs for people under 25, Jobs Growth Wales, all those sorts of things. And there are packages in place which go immediately into communities where there are announcements of job losses. Now, clearly here we're talking about things on an enormous scale. And that's why it's so important that the transition board is ready, is prepared, can set out what it's going to do and is going to tell people here what it is going to do if we come to that point.
Yeah. Labour has very ambitious net zero plans, reach net zero by 2030. How can you square that with the idea of keeping open a massively polluting steelworks?
Well, it's all about transition, so that you reduce the blast furnace production by the one closure and keeping the other one going. But, you know, if we don't do this, then we're going to be importing steel into this country. So the emissions from that, we're essentially exporting our emissions to somewhere else.
As you have said, I think, and other front benchers have said, you know, if Tata just holds on, the cavalry is coming. What are they telling you about why they can't just hold on until the election? Okay, maybe Labour doesn't necessarily get in, but at least then they'll have more certainty about what's on the table. Why can't they wait that extra period of time?
Well, I would hope that they would. You know, we're talking to them regularly, not just me, Keir Starmer, Jonathan Reynolds, the shadow business secretary. And there obviously is another plan on the table, the multi-union plan, which we support. And the whole idea about transitioning to green steel, which everybody supports and everybody wants to do, it's far better to do that in a smooth way than to have that cliff edge and lose those skills. Because once you lose those skills, it's very difficult to get them back.
Well, that's what Jo Stevens is promising. But as I toured the plant and speaking to industry sources afterwards, it became increasingly clear to me that most view Labour's plan as unworkable. Even with the extra money, they say, these job losses are still coming.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
How can a people-first approach to higher education transformation improve success? An EY report suggests that taking emotional and psychological factors into account is just as important as the technology. Six factors drive this human-centered approach: leadership, inspiration, care, empowerment, investment, and collaboration. Get these right, and they can more than double an organization's chance of transformation success. Learn more about people-first transformation at theguardian.com/transforminghighereducation. This message was paid for by EY.
Yeah, it was a really difficult day. You know, it's the end of an era. You know, those coke ovens had been here since 1981. This is the last set of coke ovens. In fact, it's the last set of coke ovens in the whole of the UK. But it was quite old. You know, operationally, it deteriorated a lot in recent years, and it was the right decision to close it at this time. So, yeah, it was sad, though, for people there who worked there all their lives, and their fathers worked there and their grandfathers worked there.
Tim Rutter is head of public relations at Tata Steel UK. He's giving us a tour of the site.
The guy who made the last push in the coke ovens, it was oven 38 at 10:47 on the 20th of March 2024. The guy who made that push was a guy called Terry Lation, and it was pure coincidence that it was his father, David, who had pushed the very first oven in Morva Coke Ovens in April 1981. So it was a real circle of life moment as Terry pushed that last oven.
And how many jobs are going to be lost because of the early closure of those ovens?
Well, of course, we are in the middle of consultation about the whole restructuring of Tata Steel UK. So there's about 200 people working the coke ovens, and we now have to work out the timing of what to do with those people within that wider consultation, because we haven't yet agreed any terms of redundancy. We haven't done any local consultation yet, and so they will be part of the 2,500 jobs that we've previously announced rather than being directly implicated today.
All right, so we've just driven in a minibus to the massive steelworks here in Portalbert. I think they're about 3 miles long. And our first stop is in front of what looks like a building from the 1930s. A lot of corrugated iron there. There are great cylinders belching out, I assume, water vapour. And there's an interesting smell as well. But Tim, maybe you could just tell me exactly what we're looking at right now.
Yeah, so this is blast furnace number 4 at Portalbert Steelworks. Brand new from the ground up in 2013, commissioned in 2013, so it's actually only 10 years old, and it is a highly sophisticated piece of technology. So this furnace will make about 10,000 tonnes of iron a day, and it then gets taken onto the steel plant to be refined and made into steel.
So that's that spectacular vision that I can see right in front of me, which looks like kind of top of a volcano coming out of a train. That is literally the liquid iron falling into a train carriage to be transported to another part of the site. Is
that
right?
Exactly right, yeah. So that will now go to the steel plant, and it'll get more carbon taken out of it, the sulfur taken out of it, and it'll have oxygen injected into it at twice the speed of sound to reduce the carbon, and then it'll have alloying elements added to make steel. And I know, you know, you say it looks industrial and it looks massive on a scale, but as someone once said to me, there are particles within steel that are the same size as your fingernail grows in a second.
Tata Steel's plan for a green electric arc furnace is expected to start operating in 2027, but that's 3 years away. The problem is, for the thousands of people who work there now, those jobs are going to come too late and will be too few to stop the immediate pain.
We all know green steel is coming. It's got to come. It's the right thing to do. Speaking from a blast furnace point of view, my father was a blast furnace foreman. My grandfather worked as a storeman in the coke ovens. My other grandfather worked as a crane driver in the blast furnaces. All my family have been connected to it. And there's a element of shame, the fact that the blast furnaces are going to go, especially when you think it's going on my watch, so to speak, for want of a better way of putting it. But we understand that the green steel has got to be developed and there's got to be other ways of doing it. The problem is the way it's been handled and the way the plan has been put forward, there's no confidence in Tata to deliver anything. And that's where you've got youngsters, like people I mentioned earlier on, who are actually thinking, well, this might be a good time to jump ship now and see what's available. But they will have to move away. Because at the moment, as has been said, there is nothing here. There is no high-skilled, good quality jobs for people to go into.
The future of the British steel industry rests in part on Tata's next move. If neither the government plan nor the Labour alternative works, not only will it have an impact on Port Talbot, it could starve this industry of the expertise it needs to survive. Here's Joe Stevens again.
Here in Wales, this is essential for us, for our local, for our national economy. But it's also essential for the country as a whole. You know, we are in the position now where we'll be the only G20 nation without a sovereign steelmaking capability. We need this steel in order to build our warships, to, you know, build the infrastructure that we need. We need it for the wind turbines and the offshore wind platforms. It's needed all over the country, and to take away that capability seems to me to be both incompetent and negligent of government.
Even with Labour's cavalry apparently on its way, for Gareth Harris, one of the steelworkers here, things feel pretty bleak.
When you're out there, you do stand a bit tall and you feel proud. Yeah, that's all I ever wanted to do. You know, exactly the same as John. Your father comes home, you smell that bag, you smell that coat, and you're like, oh, you know, I want to do that. And you hear these people, they want to do train driving, they want to be teachers, but that's all I ever wanted to do. And that's why I'm so proud to do it. And there's people in the room that know me personally and know how much, not it just means to me, but it means to all of us. And we need to keep the message going, and we got to do what we got to do now. And that is the message.
As for Tata, the company has extended a 45-day consultation with unions over the redundancies to come. Some are hoping even now they might still get a reprieve, but most are planning for the worst. The government has promised to invest £80 million on skills training and helping people to find new jobs. But that money will only kick in once the consultation is over. And in the meantime, well, here's Gareth again.
It's unthinkable. And I'll go back to the word and I keep saying it. This town will see a depression like it's never, ever seen before. And not even just this town, it'll be up and down our motorway because everybody is going to be affected. It'll kill South Wales if the worst happens.
Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. If you did, make sure you subscribe to Politics Weekly UK wherever you get your podcasts. This episode was produced by Frankie Toby, music by Axel Kakutier, the executive producers are Maz Ebtahaj and Nicole Jackson.
This is The Guardian.
How can a people-first approach to higher education transformation improve success? An EY report suggests that taking emotional and psychological factors into account is just as important as the technology. Six factors drive this human-centered approach: leadership, inspiration, care, empowerment, investment, and collaboration. Get these right, and they can more than double an organization's chance of transformation success. Learn more about people-first transformation at theguardian.com/transforminghighereducation. This message was paid for by EY.